Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan. I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're going to be continuing looking closely at the book of James, and particularly in chapter 1, verse 26. That's where we're going to be spending our time today. As always, if you've got more questions or if you want some more details, check out our messages that we preached this last weekend all across the LifePoint campuses as we've explored the passage. Here's a question for you. Do you consider yourself religious? It's an interesting word, right? Like, what does it even mean to be religious or follow a religion? And it's a tricky question because in our modern era, we tend to mean something very different from what the first century world meant when they talked about religion. Just an interesting tidbit, and we talked about this at LifePoint Worthington. Today, we tend to think of religion firmly as a system of beliefs. So like we'll talk about different world religions and we talk about the worldviews that flow from those religions. We don't necessarily think of religion as being tied to a place, but that's not really true in the ancient world. Like religion and location and geography were intricately connected. In fact, just an interesting tidbit from the New Testament, like there is no word for Jew or Judaism in the original language of the New Testament. That word is actually Judean, like meaning a person from the region of Judea. And the idea is that our religious system in the ancient world was built around where you were from and the local gods, what people believed the deities to be of that region. Right. And so when we use the word religion, we think about religious systems. James thinks about something that is far more identifiable. It's about where you're from, who you are, how you understand yourself, your heritage, your lineage. All of this is wrapped up in this word religion. And beyond that, the ancient world tended to mean by religion something more like a binding civic duty. Right? Because it had to do with where you were from, you then had an obligation to your entire community to appease the, you know, quote unquote, gods of that region. That was how this worked. That's what they would have heard when they originally read this word religion or the original language version of this in the Greek New Testament. They would have been thinking about this like binding duty, defining characteristic that James is talking about, not so much like an overarching belief system. And I think that's important just to set the stage for how we think about this word religion. And so when we get to James chapter 1, verse 26, we're going to see James start to talk about this binding duty that followers of Jesus have. And what's interesting about it is it has almost nothing to do with the power structure that was so firmly established in the Roman Empire, right? Like the Roman Empire is firmly built upon those who are useful to the empire and those who are useless in the empire, right? And there is no support system for those who are deemed to be useless, which is why in the very next verse, he's going to get to this idea of a defining characteristic as followers of Jesus care for the most vulnerable in their society. But before he gets there, in identifying this defining characteristic, he talks about our speech. He talks about the language that we use. Right? And he picks up on this idea that the words that we use are incredibly powerful. They are incredibly formative. Right? He says it this way, verse 26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Right? And so what we say, how we say it is unbelievably important. He will talk about it this way a little bit earlier in verse 19, right? That every one of us should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Later on in this letter, he's going to talk about how the tongue can do good, but it can do a ton of damage because of how we can wound people with our words. Right? They hold immense power. And if we claim to be followers of Jesus, we must be committed to speaking and using our language with grace and wisdom. Just consider the closest people you surround yourself with. Are the words they use uplifting, encouraging, and life-giving? Or are they critical, shallow? And our church community should use words that follow James' instruction, communication that points to Jesus. Right? And that doesn't mean that everything we ever talk about with anybody always is about Jesus. No, it means that we are using our words for the good of those around us. Right? We don't want to just skip over and say whatever we want to say. Sometimes we'll do this in the church where we will excuse our language just by saying, like, you know, I'm sorry, I have a blunt personality. I'm just the one who's willing to say what I need to say. And James would look at us and say, no, that doesn't fly. That doesn't fly. Our language matters. How we use it for good matters. The last I checked, there's not a single operation or function that is benefited merely by having a blunt object rather than a sharp and precise object. You see what I'm saying? All right, now we want to take a moment as we think about our speech. Let's take a moment and just let me share some prayer requests. And you may want to do this. I'm going to share two prayer requests. And I'm going to pray these things. And you just press pause after you hear these. Pray them back. Spend some more time praying these to yourself. Here's the first prayer is for self-examination. Heavenly Father, help me to examine my heart and my speech. Reveal to me any areas where I have spoken carelessly or hurtfully, and grant me the awareness to recognize when my words do not align with my faith. Teach me to reflect your love and truth in everything I say. In prayer for wisdom and restraint. Lord, I ask for your wisdom and grace to guide my words. In moments of frustration or conflict, remind me to pause and seek your perspective before I speak. May my tongue be a source of encouragement and healing, reflecting the kindness and gentleness of your spirit. Now, let's talk about what this might look like to live it out. We don't want to be doers or hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. Take a moment today just to do a self-examination of your words. Are they a testament to the love and truth of Christ, or do they reveal inconsistencies in your practice, your allegiance to Jesus? Let every interaction be an opportunity to show kindness, patience, and understanding. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.